I think it's because Matt started talking about the
Yeah.
recorder kid.
Matt talked about
Oh,
Recorder Kid
yeah.
instead.
Oh, yep. Yep. I'm sorry.
Thanks a
It
lot,
was.
Turd Ferguson.
It's all right.
That can be the title of the episode.
Heard Ferguson.
Tech Hockey Guide presents the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA with your host, Tim Brown, Rob Gilreath, Dustin Lindstrom, and Matt Cavender.
Welcome to episode 45 of season 5 of the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide and recorded from the state of hockey. I'm Tim Brown, your host, and I'm joined this week by Dustin Lindstrom.
Hey, everyone.
Rob Gilreath.
Hey, guys.
And Matt Cavender.
You already know who it is, everybody, and I'm watching a video of a kid that is playing the national anthem on recorder at a hockey game that he's playing it.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to have to send that to Nick to put in the notes. That's pretty fantastic.
All right.
That sounds like a tournament thing.
This week, we'll talk about Mankato's season, the Michigan Tech series with Bowling Green State, preview the CCHA playoffs, and ask Jack a few Patreon questions. We'll probably touch on the two coach fire or the coach firing and the coach retirement that we have heard so far, correct?
It's the only two I've heard of.
Yeah. We'll see if Matt's tidying up his resume or not, and go from there. And we have a new patron officially. He paid his payment cleared this morning, so thank you, Paul Durst, for signing up for an annual pass at the black level in honor of you joining us. Both Matt and I are wearing our red hats backwards, and Dustin has put on the closest thing he has to a red hat, which is one of his cowboy hats. So
it's not a cowboy hat.
That's
what
a fedora, if I've
a
ever
fedora?
Seen one.
I don't even know. Is it a fedora? I don't know.
I don't know if it's a proper fedora, but okay. It's more of a...
It's old-timey.
It's more
Swedish.
Of a...
It's Swedish.
Jones hat.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. It's a little more of like a... Yeah. It might be something you see like a Chicago gangster from the 1920s wear. Does that work?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Did you actually intro me before? I don't know if you did.
What?
I don't know if you formally intro'd me. It's not a big of a deal, but
yeah, there was no Jack. You can do it after the break.
You'll have to come
thanks
back
for joining
just...
us,
I think
Jack.
Because Matt, I think it's because Matt started talking about the recorder
yeah.
kid.
Matt talked about recorder kid
yeah.
instead.
Oh, yep. I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot, Turd Ferguson.
It's all right.
That can be the title of the episode.
Turd Ferguson. Say my name.
We are wearing silly hats, to be fair.
All right. Cool. With the Mason Cup playoffs upon us and Michigan Tech hosting Minnesota State, we have Jack Hittinger from USCHO to discuss the CCHA overall. Thanks for joining us again, Jack.
Thanks for having me. I don't have a red hat to put on. I'm sorry.
All right. Anything else? We get everything there? I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about the Minnesota State high school tournament since Jack's here, and we can let
that's number one priority.
Abby and Rob's eyes roll over for a bit.
Oh, my name has not been changed yet. Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back with Jack Hittinger after a little thank you notes and a brief note from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fibke Dental is a general dentistry practice located in downtown Rhinelander, Wisconsin, home of the Hodag. Look online at FibkeDental.com or find them on Facebook. They do pain-free dentistry for kids, adults, people that went to great schools, and people that ended up at Northern Michigan. Stop in and say hi between 8 and 5 and tell them THG sent you. That is Fibke Dental.com.
Are you in the market for insurance? Have your rates for home, auto, boat, or more been increasing way beyond inflation? If so, maybe it's time you spoke with Aaron Pietola and the team at Arcadia Insurance Group. serving Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and more. Who better to serve you than a former Michigan Tech player? For more information, call 866-511-1069 or go to arcadiaagency.com. All right, welcome back. Jack, what were your perceptions of the quarterfinal matchups last weekend for the CCHA?
I was kind of surprised that there weren't more game threes. Obviously, you had St. Thomas and Lake State went to three games, but I was kind of thinking that we'd have two or three, and we didn't. So that was a little surprising. But of the other three, I thought there was at least one close game in all of them. Neither of them were straight up blowouts in two games. Like I think we've seen, I know last year, both, I mean, Mankato, I think maybe the past couple of years, the first round for Mankato has been a blowout, and I, for both games, maybe, don't quote me on that. I could probably research it, but
it is amazing. Cause we always feel like, I think it feels like perception has always been that more series will go three games. And it just hasn't happened. And it is, I think, extra odd this year because of how few regular season sweeps there were, period, in the conference. And then you turn around and three out of the four series were a sweep, even if it was, you know, Bemidji State barely finding a way to come back and force overtime and then winning in overtime. I missed the goal because I put Minnesota United on for the intermission to watch them for a little bit, only to find out that the goal had been scored before I flipped the channel or flipped the streaming back. Because it was, 45 seconds into overtime after they take a full intermission to resurface. Yeah. Michigan Tech's Saturday game was just freaking crazy with, 50 minutes, I think, for Blake's save percentage to be above 50%.
Yeah, that was a very efficient shooting by Bowling Green on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Two different times during that game, I said, God, forget about this. I quit listening. I said, I'm done with it for the night.
Yeah.
Giving up. And then I happened to see on Twitter, oh, they tied it up. I'm going to turn it back on again.
My favorite part was I popped into the thread like three different times to post the same sentence, which was, I bet this is a happy place right now. And then I left. That's all I did is I'd pop in and post that after they were down 2-0. Then it was tied up at 2-2 and I posted it again. And then they fell behind again. Like, I think I did it three or four times and that's all I did until that. And then I popped in there a little more when that goal was under review. Because I don't understand what that frickin' rule is if that's not a goal. And I would like to ask Marco sometime when we get a chance about, like, I know they can't call the minor penalty if it was actually a trip that caused the Tech player to slide into the goalie. Like, I know they can't call the minor itself, but can they take into account that they see the minor penalty and use that to negate the goaltender interference? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I'm not sure there. I haven't had a chance to really watch the replay much. I just saw it in person then on the screen in the arena, and I'm watching the play right now. But I don't think he gets tripped. I think he blows a tire. My impression live.
Like, yeah, it's hard to tell. It's obvious that like the Bowling Green guy's stick is not like in front of his skates, but it looks like one. I don't know if he loses his edge and falls that way, or if he gets like pushed from behind a little bit and gets his feet taken out from him.
That's what I mean. I think he blows a tire.
Yeah. But even then, like, yes, he lost his stick, but how much time has to pass before that's like he's right back in the net and it's okay? Like,
I don't. Yeah, that's where I'm confused as how the rule actually works there, because whoever's got the puck on top and shoots, I think, is it Bronte? He waits for a very, very long time until he is back and literally established in the net before the shot comes in.
Yeah. And I know he's very, you can see how flustered the goalie is and everything.
It's 100% not a trip. There's no way. His stick is up like to do a stick lift and goes out on the side. It's not in his skates at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very happy that call ended up not being consequential to the game because I very much disagreed with the outcome because, you know, I didn't think it was a trip. I didn't think there was much in the way of like a goaltender interference call either. I was not thrilled with the way that was called either.
Yeah, there's no trip. They're laying on the ice here. They're, you know, I'm playing it back at like 0.25 speed. So it's taking a very long time to develop. Bronte looks really patient right now. But he's clearly established. He's back up out of even the butterfly. He's not even down in the butterfly in the goal. Yep. He doesn't have a stick, but he's reestablished in the net in my mind.
Yep.
And it goes in above him, you know, blocker side, where maybe if he has a stick, he's got a better chance of getting something on it there. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, if you blow a tire like that and take the goalie out, and you're taking the goalie out, I don't know. I don't know what the right call there is, to be honest. So looking at the rule book quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't know. The way I've just always understood it, it just feels like the wrong call to me. I feel like I'm not trying to look at that through tech-colored glasses. I'm kind of looking at the same way you are. Like, I feel like the goalie had plenty of time to reestablish himself because, you know, if we're going to go the goalie interference route, the standard is, was the goalie afforded the opportunity to make the save? And I'm with you. I think the goalie got back in there, got set up pretty square.
He is very square. He is, in fact, up and square. I mean, he literally gets up out of the butterfly.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, how much do you want to debate that, you know, he wasn't? And I personally don't think there's much of an argument there. He got back in there. You know, the contact in and of itself was just fluky, blowing a tire stuff. I'm not exactly sure how they arrived at that decision.
But I think the thing you can argue there is that it should have been called dead earlier for the interference where he goes through him. Even if he's blowing a tire, he has the responsibility not to go through the guy in the crease. He takes him out of his crease completely. So that right there could be goaltender interference before the shot even comes in.
I agree that if you blow a tire and it's not caused by the other team and that causes you to take the goalie out, that is interfering with the goalie.
That's the way I see it.
It's your
job
to not take
exactly.
him out, right?
Yes.
But they didn't call it. And we know that goaltender interference is reviewable, but like you can't go back a minute and on the, like, if I shoot it and there was goalie interference, but the shot didn't go in and then they reset and the next shot goes in, you can't go back to the first one and say they should have called goalie interference, right? Like, how far in the past does that matter?
I don't know. And I haven't read that rule book line for line, but my guess is it's pretty subjective. That part is left subjective on purpose. And personally, I would say once it's obvious that the goalie has reestablished the position in the crease and is playing again, that's it. It's not like offsides where you can go back 2 minutes and take a goal away because it 2 minutes ago the puck left the zone and it wasn't called.
Right,
like,
but if you review it and you're reviewing it for goaltender experience, that's what, you know, the review is for, and it happened before the puck went in, can you go back and call that and everything pass it negates like a penalty you're reviewing for? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's, again, I go back to, I'm happy that it ended up being inconsequential on the result of the game. But
oh, yeah, it makes the next goal so much more satisfying.
It does, but it also, I wasn't thrilled with that one. I would be interested to hear what Marco or anybody from the league would have to say about that one. And I don't want the standard, you know, everyone's going to call it a different way thing. I'm struggling to
get.
I know, but like the thing is that I'm struggling.
The question is more like the question for Marco is more about, okay, what is the interpretation that is resulting in this call? Not, we understand that two other refs might have seen it differently, but what
was the reasoning in this specific case? Like,
yeah, right? There has to be more than just saying it's subjective and whatever. Like, and I know that they're not going to throw him under the bus, but it's a lot easier to talk about it when it didn't determine the outcome or prevent, like, change the outcome, right? Like, Tech was the one that got the goal taken away and they still won the game. So it's not the same as like the Minnesota State one last year where it ultimately or potentially changed the outcome, even though Rob will have that debate all day because we still scored later. But it's just hard to understand that call. And like so many of the other calls, it's pretty easy to, like, the what was it, the major on the Lake State guy on Sunday night, Like, that was pretty obvious after, like, upon review that it was a major, and then it ended up being a very weird circumstance where Lake State not only kills off the major, but also scores shorthanded to, like, get back in the game, which was, like, this extremely weird occurrence. But it also took out, like, concussed another St. Thomas player and had them down to, what, 10 forwards, I think it was? And that's, like, that probably had a bigger impact on the whole game anyway, because it sounded like he was the forward that was, yeah, he was the forward that was double shifting because they were down a forward that got hurt. So it's, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, on Sunday night, I ref the three broomball games for our broomball final, like semifinals and finals. I literally got off the ass, like, I wonder what the score of the game is. I popped on and it said it was 2-2 at the end of the third. I got flow going. There was 10 seconds left. The goal got scored, and I went, well, shit, that's good timing. Done with this.
Yeah.
I watched approximately like 9 seconds of Lake State St. Thomas on Sunday.
The most
and
important.
It was all I needed to see.
Well, and then the big debate there was, why didn't Rico challenge that for offsides? Because it was close. But it's pretty obvious from what we were able to see that it was onside. And I think it's pretty, I would assume the reason they didn't is because that was right down their bench. Like, yeah, somebody on their bench had a clear view of that being onside, so they didn't see the need to challenge it.
Yeah,
and
I think
it was not what the announcers were saying. They did have the ability to challenge that. They just would have taken a minor penalty if they're wrong. And if they're wrong with 6 seconds left, who cares if there's a minor penalty? So,
yeah.
Yeah, that was the only really, well, I can't say that because Bemidji Ferris State was a crazy Friday night game where Ferris State kind of tried to do what Bowling Green tried to do on Saturday night to Tech, which was score a bunch of goals without taking a bunch of shots. And they had a lead for a very long period of that game and managed to not hang on. And from there, it was just kind of, it felt like it was just kind of over for them because it's, I was telling my girlfriend, like, it's really hard. It's going to be really hard for Ferris State to play three good games against Bemidji, let alone two out of the three. And if they lost one of the good games they played, like, it's over. They're not going to find it for two more nights. So, I don't know. What were your thoughts on the Bemidji-Ferris State one, Jack?
Yeah, I didn't see it too much of the Tech series, so I didn't have a lot to say. Sorry. I chime in about it. But saw all of, I mean, most of the BSU and Ferris one and most of St. Thomas. I watch all the Sunday's game anyway, but this Ferris, I found on Friday, the first 10 minutes they were in control of the game, Ferris was. And then something happened. I think BSU was able to sort of calm that, settle down. I think Territory might have been taking his timeout like early in the first, just to kind of settle him down. And I think they were sort of in control for most of the game. And they even tied it at one point. It was weird because they tied it 2-2 early in the second, and then Ferris scored two more goals like immediately, took another 2-goal lead. And those two goals were just kind of like fluky puck luck type goals that you're like, oh, this is gonna be one of those games where BSU is just not gonna get the puck luck. But they did end up, I mean, Casper Magnuson tied it, or didn't tie it, but he cut it to 4-3 at the end of the second, sort of gave them a little bit of a like padding to going into the third. And then
on a power play goal. Yep.
Yeah. The third, they kind of dominated again, but just didn't score until it's like 40 seconds left in the game. From there, once they tied it, I think that demoralized Ferris even more because obviously they had the full intermission to sort of go in and think about it. And I know last year Ferris had those two overtime games in their quarterfinal games. And our friend Harrison was saying, they're not going to be let down by this. They know how to win these games in overtime. but I think, I'm not sure, but I think both of those games, Ferris had scored to force the overtime. Am I right? I don't know.
I'd have to look.
I think it's all.
I'll dig it up. Keep talking.
I think it might have been a slightly different situation, whereas this, you could kind of feel BSU knocking on the door the whole time. They just weren't getting the pucks to go in, and then they finally got the one from Martin to go in with the extra attacker. And you just think, like, at that point, like, if BSU doesn't score right away, this could be Ferris's game. But, I mean, BSU came out, I think it was 37 seconds in, Polkamp had a kind of insane goal for a defender to score. Just kind of like, I don't even know. He was like in the slot, just like tapped it in from the slot after like loafed, shot it and missed, and the rebound went off and right to Polkamp. It was just kind of an insane goal. So, you know, I think that they sort, I mean, they had the scare against Ferris in that first game, and then the second game it was all Beavers. So I don't know. You think that they might have played a little bit better in that first game, but I think ultimately that series was a fair representation of how those two teams historically play against each other.
Yeah. And it was Bowling Green did get an extra attacker goal in the last 2 minutes of both the Ferris wins last year. Yep.
Okay. Well, then
crazy.
for some reason, I thought Ferris was the one that had scored to send it to overtime, but
nope, it was like 18-34 and 18-50 something there, something like that.
Okay. Well, yeah. That thesis doesn't hold for me, nope. But I still think that last year Ferris, were they a better team? I guess I don't know. Were they 7 seed last year? I don't remember. Playing at Bowling Green, they must have been 6 or 7. So I feel like it wasn't quite as much of a mismatch against BG last year as it was this year. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you guys saw any of those Bemidji Ferris games, but it seemed like a fair outcome of how both teams have played generally this season.
Yeah, we watched the third period on Friday night when we got back to the house, and it definitely Ferris was clearly holding on to the skin of their teeth, and the result is fair, I think, right? I mean, Ferris, they got lucky to get to where they were in that first game, and the result, I'm okay with it. It is what is the deserved result. They just felt like they were just in that, you know, shell-shocked, trying to hold on, and it took a while for Midgey to break them down, but they finally did, and game over at that point.
Yeah, so it was 3-6 last year for Bowling Green versus Ferris. So makes a little difference there that it wasn't.
Seems like it was 1-8. It's a little more of a fair, not fair matchup. But I mean, Ferris beat Bemidji once this year already, and I think the other one went to overtime. One of the other games went to overtime. So like, they're sort of one of BSU's bugaboo teams. I know people talk about that with various teams in the league, but I think this is the first time the Beavers had ever beaten Ferris in a playoff series, like gotten a victory over them. So that was just kind of a weird quirk that like they have very bad luck against Ferris in the playoffs. So yeah, like I mean, you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs too, which is I think one thing why some people were pretty. I think BSU fans are pretty nervous about this game, especially on a Friday. Like, are they going to blow it? But ultimately, I think, they've been playing well past month and a half of the season. So they're still rolling, I think. So be interesting to see how they play against Lake State.
Yeah, I'm curious if Lake State's got it in them to upset again or not, you know?
Yeah, you know, they played Lake State earlier in the season, and it was, I mean, both series they played. There was one they went to the Sioux and got swept. I think it was a 5-point sweep, something like that. One of them was an overtime game. And then there was another weird series in Bemidji where it was like 7-1 Beavers first game and then 6-1 the second game. I don't know if you guys remember that weekend. It was just kind of those weekends where it's like, oh, the CCHA is insane. I think that's when people first came to the realization that this league doesn't make any sense. But I think the difference is, I mean, I don't think Matthias Scholl played in any of those games. So I think that is sort of an X factor too. Enright is, I mean, he's had his moments. He's a pretty decent goalie, but I think without Scholl, this might be a different conversation. So I think, and the question also is if the Lakers have Westcott, because we saw that he might not be involved after that hit. I don't know. I think that's the one part of the Sunday game that I didn't see because I was down grilling. I don't know. What did that look like, a suspendable hit to you guys?
I'd have to actually see it.
I think it was not called a, like, it wasn't a disqualification. It was a misconduct, and I haven't seen anything from the CCHA today to say that he would be suspended. So I think he was just out for
yeah.
the rest of that game.
That I think that would be a big blow for them. I think the fact that he's there is a lot better for them.
Yeah. Yep, just a game misconduct, and I haven't seen anything from the league.
Okay. Well, that probably means that he'll be back, but
We fund everything at Tech Hockey Guide from listeners like you. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Whether you're interested in question priority, access to patron-only Zoom chats with coaches and players, in-stat deep dives, extended versions of the podcast, unedited video or audio, early access, or commercial-free listening, there's a level for you. We also now have 15% discounts off annual memberships with tiers ranging from $2 to $50 per month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/techhockeyguide.
Do you work in manufacturing, product design, or product development? Is your business trying to improve efficiency while also producing at scale? Livonia Technical Services can help. They provide world-class quality improvement training and consulting for failure modes and effect analysis, product development, and cost reduction. All things that could help Northern Michigan assemble a competent defense. If you think your business could use a prevention mindset and reduce manufacturing costs, a partnership with Livonia Technical Services might be right for you. Check them out at livoniatech.net. That's LIVONIA tech.net.
And then what other one have? Oh, we haven't talked about Northern Minnesota State yet. The team we're playing and our former rival. Yeah, that I think that one might be the one that I kind of felt the most surprised it didn't also go to three games. I mean, I think we both felt pretty confident that Tech and Bemidji would win based on who they were playing and being at home, right? If I remember correctly, all four of us, when I did track you guys down, even though we didn't say it on the podcast, all four of us picked Bemidji and Michigan Tech to win, and then it was split for the other two series, with Rob and Matt saying that Northern would win, Dustin and I saying that Minnesota State would win, and then Rob and I thought St. Thomas would win, and we were wrong about that one.
I'm okay with it because I'm going to get to see another hockey game with the McGinnis, so that's cool.
Yeah, I was cheering for Hull Ice, but it ended up working out. Shout out to the Lakers for getting that done.
I just think St. Thomas, I mean, with the injuries.
Yeah, that's part of the thing.
They just ran out of gas, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they honestly had a great season.
It's really hard to say what as a fan you wanted, because I feel like Michigan Tech playing St. Thomas, if they had managed to win after having to play three games, I think would have been a good matchup as well, even if they've struggled against St. Thomas this year. And I could have actually gone to the game without spending 6.5 hours in the car or whatever the hell it is these days. But I also remember very clearly cheering a lot when Lake State scored, just because it was so fluky how that played out and happened and kind of cool. So Minnesota State, Northern, that was honestly a weird series from the perspective of, for being the home team, it's not like it seemed pretty clearly that Northern kind of outplayed them both nights, but did not outscore them. At least that's my perception.
I watched a little bit on Friday. I don't think I watched, did I watch any on Saturday? I don't remember. But I remember there was a couple sequences like late Friday where like Northern just could not buy a goal. I can't remember if it was the end of the first or end of the second period. They had like, I think they had a power play and they might have had like a late penalty or something like that. They just sent everything at the net, and there were like two or three chances where like Gontu's like missed, like one off a post. There was like a couple of insane saves. And that's kind of when you're thinking like, oh, they're just getting goalied. And I feel like that's, it seems like, especially the first night, that's what happened, because Alex Tracy had 32 saves or something like that. I think Palaz only had like 19, 20.
Yep. Yeah, it was 33 to 21 shots for NMU, but they were 0 for 1 on the power play. Minnesota State was 1 for 1. Faceoffs were very even. And then Saturday night it was closer, but it was 27 to 23 shots for NMU, and both teams went 0 for on the power play, and Northern was 0 for 3. Minnesota State was 0 for 4. Like, it just, it's just weird how much they just could not buy a goal this weekend. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of, I was going to say, that's kind of been their MO for a lot of season. You think back at some of those games against like early in the season, like against Duluth. I think they probably should have won against Duluth, and they couldn't really buy a goal in those games. There was an Arizona State game where they scored like 30 seconds in and just like couldn't score again. I think Arizona State won like 4-1 or something like that, even though they got outplayed. I feel like that happened a lot to NMU this season. So I guess it sort of makes sense that sort of maybe just some of the same problems are keep popping up for them. It was Arizona State. I guess Duluth, that was, both of those were score fests. But yeah, I remember definitely a couple times where they just couldn't score. I think that sort of was their Achilles heel for a lot of the season.
Cool. It's
not that you guys are mad about that, but
no, I'm not sad to see Northern season end. Ever. Unless they get to the national tournament and we're not there. And I would be willing to appreciate them winning just for the CCHA's sake. Oh. Well, begrudgingly, yeah. You know, doing so.
Sorry, I just went to Instat and I just realized it's not there, and I should have known it wouldn't be there because the games are in Mankato, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Aren't they like the slowest ones on Instat is Mankato?
Yeah, according to Zmeets, they're the worst at getting their stuff out there.
Because I was going to go look and see how many, you know, shots they had with the high expected goals and all that, and it's not there. That's cool. Yeah, so now we arrive at the semifinals here. I was a little shocked when Michigan Tech had their press release saying that the game starts at 5 o'clock Eastern, but it feels rather brilliant now when you realize that they're in the Eastern time zone and the other one's in Central, so they can make Tech like an hour earlier than a normal Saturday game and then have Bemidji be like a normal Friday night puck drop time.
Yeah.
And basically let all the fans that can't attend watch both games without missing anything, unless there's a lot of overtime in the first one, right?
Yeah.
Because typically a game takes, what, 2.5 hours, I'd say? Maybe a little more, 2:40. So that'll be kind of cool for the league to have that type of setup for the fans that have Flow Hockey and want to watch. And it's not terribly early for Tech fans. I mean, we played that early on Carnivals. It's Saturday, right, Rob? Is that right?
Yeah, that's the normal Carnival time.
So it's not a, at least the new normal, right? Because it used to be like 2 o'clock, I think.
2 o'clock.
Before
my time being a student, it wasn't 2 o'clock. Like, it was never 2 o'clock when I was a student.
Okay, that might be more of a John McInnes thing, where he talked about how he would like play all the bench players on Saturday and play at like 2 o'clock, so he'd be like, half his roster would be fresh and the other guys only had two fresh guys. yeah, so we've got Bemidji State hosting the Lakers and Michigan Tech hosting Minnesota State. Michigan Tech has kind of had Minnesota State's number this year. So that'll be an interesting series, but I think we can talk more about... What's that?
Just generally, how you guys feel about that matchup, because I think historically we'd all be sort of looking at Minnesota State and just like, oh, well, they're just, I think you think that they're the favorites, but I don't know if they've come into, I mean, I don't know. They were technically favorites last week, but I think a lot of people picked them to get upset in the first round. And I think this year, part of you thinks that, oh, it's Minnesota State, that's going to be a tough matchup. But you just look at stats against Tech, like their numbers and how you guys have done against them. I don't think that's the case anymore, but I'm sure that the coaches would say, well, they're the favorites until they lose because it's Mankato.
Yeah, that's not pasting, so I don't know.
The feeling that Mankato should be the favorite is just like the lingering PTSD from the last 10 years.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think either way, we're going to be in for a good hockey game. I mean, like, no shit, we're in the semis. Like, people, like, you don't get there by not being at least a semi-competent hockey team for sure. But I think these are two teams that seem to be playing at a pretty similar level right now. And I think it's going to be a low scoring, perhaps chippy contest, but I think ultimately Tech will come out this year because there's not as much the Hastings factor and they lost a few guys last year. And, you know, like Tim said, we kind of had their number this year. I do kind of lean towards Tech, but I think it's going to be I would say the more exciting to watch of the two semifinal matchups, but that remains to be seen. But on paper, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it makes me nervous. I honestly, from a matchup, would have preferred St. Thomas.
Even though we Minnesota State four times or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just the illogical PTSD, like you said. It does feel illogical
because we're 1-3 against St. Thomas, even when they were injured. They're a little more injured now.
I'm not saying it makes sense.
I know, but during all four of our games, they did not have. Well, I guess the first two they might have had a full roster of players, but they had no players that could be swapped out. Like they might have had an extra skater, but they were skating somebody that was supposed to be a defender, I think, as a forward, but they still had an extra skater. And then the second series, I don't think they had an extra skater at all. And now they don't even have like at least one forward and possibly another if they were still playing. I'm trying to go back here to find Beaver Territory's graphic, because one of the more interesting things he did was post like how many points everybody got against each team. And I think there it is. I finally got it. It's all the way back from the fifth. So Minnesota State had 19 points against the bottom two teams. So I thought that was interesting that like as many points as Minnesota State had on the season in the CCHA, like half of them came from Lake State and Fair State, which they got to play both of them four times.
Mm-hmm. I get the feeling from Mankato that they have a feeling like they peaked like a month ago, because I feel like they are at the top of the league. They were playing really well, and then they ran into Bemidji, and I mean they just got destroyed by Bemidji at the end of the year. I feel like I have like. That shapes the way I feel about them now. I feel like I think if they would have beat Bemidji there, but then I guess that would have messed up the seeding. But I don't know. My opinion changed on them just seeing how they got pounded by Bemidji in that series.
Yeah, they have had, other than the sweep of Northern, they have had it kind of rough since February. They're 3-5, 3-5, I guess, with series against St. Thomas, Tech, Lake State, and Bemidji. So. Yeah, it'll be interesting, you know, and then obviously with how good Minnesota State is, it's a one, like, I would feel pretty confident, I think, if this was still a three-game series. But because it's one game, I do think anything can happen in both these games. And I know, Matt, you said that you don't necessarily think the Bemidji-Lake State game will be as entertaining, but I kind of have a feeling it'll be an entertaining game because I think Lake State kind of plays like it might be 6-1, but they still play a pretty up and down style of hockey that I think that'll be a fun game, and they have a chance for sure. And like, but Jackie, yeah, you point out the whole Shoal thing that I think that's a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, they can still score. And I think they're the type of team where, unlike a Fair State, where if you go down 2-0, I think you're not feeling like you're in panic mode right away after 10 minutes. Just because of the way the Fair State plays and the way the Bemidji State plays. But I think if you go down against like State 2-0 early, then maybe you're in a little bit more trouble because Lake State can pour on a little bit more with that top line with like Westcott and trying to think of the other kid that I'm thinking of, but his name is not coming to me yet.
Well, I mean the last two games against them were pure just ass kickings by one team or the other, right? I mean, 7-1 for Bemidji and then a 6-1 for Lake State. So the goals can go either way in this one.
Yeah. But I mean, I think also when you talk about like the beginning of the season for both teams, I mean, both of those were in November and
early December. Yeah.
So that's another sort of thing where you think like both these teams are very different teams now.
Yep.
And like the Shoal thing obviously is, I think, the biggest, but I think even there's a time like Jackson Jutting missed some time, but I think he got injured in that North Dakota game, so he wasn't available for that home series. He's been a big spark plug for the Beavers, especially like defensively, just like winning faceoffs. Like he's their best, he's their only real faceoff winner. So he's very valuable to them, but he wasn't playing in that game. They might have had one or two other guys that were missing in that series too. So I suppose if you look at the injuries coming back, maybe it gives the Beavers a little bit of an edge because they, I think, should have pretty much everybody in the lineup don't know about Lake State, but still, that top line of Lake State is so deadly. I would not want to get down against them.
The more we talk about it, the more I'm thinking I did kind of undersell it, because I think Bemidji's ready to get out there and show them that winning McNaughton was no fluke at all. They definitely started to pull away in the last half here. They're keeping that momentum going. And I think that Lake State is a team that has played with a chip all year, and they were able to take that chip on their shoulder all the way to Mendota Heights and upset a series against the Tommies, who are having a great year. Like, we know we can talk about their injury problems until the cows come home, but that's still a good hockey team, like, even with the problems they were having. So they went in there and, you know, upset a very good hockey team, and it is completely possible they could go into Bemidji and do it. I don't know if I'm necessarily calling that, but I, you know, maybe I did undersell it a bit. I think it's going to be an exciting series as well.
Well, they are the two highest scoring offenses in the conference as far as during conference games too. So that's interesting.
I think, I don't know. I mean, Lake State, obviously they finished seventh and the league was so close, but I think they're much better than seven. They're not a typical seven seed, quote unquote.
Not for our conference, that's for sure.
They could have been the 4 or 5 seed, depending on, because they had that weird game with Ferris that they only played one series that weekend. And, you know, the way that they're playing now, I wonder if Damon wouldn't have preferred to play two games that last weekend and give them more of a chance to get some more conference points.
Yeah.
I think they won that one back, that first game anyway. So maybe it wouldn't have mattered, but you just think that they had such good momentum. You would want to keep playing, but I don't know. I'm rambling a little bit, so.
No, it's interesting looking at the conference stats and seeing, you know, that the four teams that are left are four of the five highest scoring offenses. Michigan Tech is actually fifth. St. Thomas was fourth. Mankato's third. And then as far as defenses go, it's also Lake State is like the second worst defense. And then the other three are three of the top four, with St. Thomas also being, is tied with Mankato for second best defense for goals against. It's just a interesting group of teams, and we knew how tight the standings were, and it's not that surprising that there was an upset somewhere this year, and especially with how injured St. Thomas was. I mean, I think that's the biggest takeaway from them, more than them disappointing as the 2 seed. So, all right, Jack. Well, thanks for staying for pretty much the entire podcast. We appreciate you coming on last minute, as it was kind of fun trying to figure out who we should have on when we didn't know who we would be playing until, 7:30, 8 o'clock last night? I forget now.
Yeah.
So, thanks for coming on, Jack. Anything you want to plug?
No, I'll have a column this week. Not sure what I'm writing about, so.
Hockey. There you go. Start with that. Probably playoff hockey. There you go. Even better.
Probably not going to write about Fred Durst this week, but
the more Fred Durst puns you can throw in, the better, though. You can sneak a few references into the team's role, and, you know.
Yeah, you got to be like that weather guy in Austin that just throws the lyrics into the article, right?
Yeah. It was just one of those days for the Northern Michigan Wildcats.
You know what? Just for Matt, maybe I'll try and do that.
Okay, I'll put it out there if you make it happen.
When is this podcast going out?
This part will probably go out on Friday morning.
Okay, good. So maybe people can look for clues like on Wednesday when the column comes out, and then they won't know that there will be weird like Limp Bizkit references in it.
Wonderful, I love it.
I'm gonna try and do that
for get real. A whole album in song order.
Well, that would be that's a lot of work. Don't make them do that. Because most of their albums have like an intro and outro as well, so I don't think there's a reason
they're very highly organized.
Besides Roland, I couldn't name another song.
Probably tap
break,
out
break stuff.
I probably tap out around 5 Limp Bizkit songs. Got Roland, Break Stuff, Nookie, My Way.
You can't Nookie's forget Nookie. Probably going to be tough to work into there.
My generation.
Most editors are going to pick up on that one, I would hope.
I mean, you don't have to literally say Nookie. You can just pick some lyrics that aren't Nookie from the song Nookie.
Well, you said put the song title in there in order. Yeah. That's what we were talking about, right?
Yeah. That's good stuff, though.
It's going to be a challenge, but So I guess
solution counterfeit stuck. Nobody loves me. Sour, stalemate, clunk, faith, stink finger. There you go. Get that
finger.
Indigo flow, leech, and everything. That's like their first album.
I was about to say that's $3 bill, y'all.
Yeah.
If you can figure out a way to put out the entirety of the song Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water into your article, like, I might send you a dollar.
A dollar?
Yeah. I'm strapped for cash right now, but I'd part with a dollar.
Oh, this is my favorite part of the podcast, when we just say stupid stuff and laugh.
All right. I need to get ready for bad guys.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Jack.
All right.
We'll thanks, see if Jack. Your column has any references Jack. To Limp Bizkit this week.
All right. Fingers crossed.
All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about, or we got it?
I think we're good.
I just want to know how, since I haven't checked the Discord, there's over like 200 messages while we've been talking in the general questions, or the general one.
Really?
It's that effort sometimes to keep up. It's the first time I've looked at it in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the younger kids getting into it there. That's what's going on.
Nobody got arrested or anything, right? Like, we don't have news to break right now.
No, I don't think so.
Hopefully it stays that way if we go to the tournament. I think that might have been a factor, but...
All right.
1 minute remaining in the podcast.
Well, that should do it for this episode of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. Please check out our Patreon and join by visiting patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Like our latest patron, Paul Durst. Thanks for signing up for an annual membership, which I believe saves you 15% on the year. But it actually does not cost us the whole 15% because we pay less in fees if you do it annually, apparently. I just figured that out today, thanks to Paul, and knowing what the totals were before he signed up and after. Patrons at our white level or above get question priority. Patrons at the black level or above, like Paul Durst, get access to extra podcast content, including extended versions of almost every podcast. Patrons at the gold level or above receive extra or access to unfiltered YouTube video of our podcast each week. And then we've got one tier higher than that, which you basically get the audio as soon as it's done processing and I can get it up on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at Chasing Mac Pod or at Tech Hockey Guide. You can submit questions through Twitter, Facebook, or on our Patreon page. Actually, the best place to give us questions is to join our Discord, which you can get to by going to techhockeyguide.com/discord. And then that's like an open invitation to anybody that wants to sign up. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find the podcast on your site of choice, please let us know and we'll make it happen. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Fibke Dental in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, Arcadia Insurance, providing insurance throughout all of the Midwest, and Livonia Technical Services. Finally, thanks to the thank you notes for all the bumpers in this week's episode. If you like what you hear, check them out at thethankyounotes.bandcamp.com.
You've been listening to the Chasing McNaughton podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA.